John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19, here's what the Bible says. In the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Verse 24, But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. Thank you for what we've experienced already. Thank you for letting us be a small part of this ministry that Josh and Rachel are involved in. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to bless them as they serve you through these efforts to reach young people for Jesus Christ. And I pray that in the next few minutes, Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts. You would remind us of what Jesus is capable of every time we meet in this place. And how when we come, we ought to expect him to do something spectacular in our lives. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, tonight would be the night they understand they're a sinner and that they need a Savior and that Jesus is the only one that will work. So bless the next few minutes. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It was the first day of the week, Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Jesus had already appeared to Mary Magdalene. He'd already appeared to Peter. He'd already appeared to two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He now makes an appearance to the disciples that were gathered there in that upper room. And he said, Peace be unto you. He showed them his hands, the nail prints in his hands. He showed them the spear print in his side. The Bible says the disciples were glad. Their heartbreak that they had experienced over the past few days turned to joy. The discouragement that they might have felt as Jesus lay 3 days and three nights in the tomb turned into excitement as he stood before them. The shame that they might have felt and the shyness that they might have felt turned into boldness as the risen Savior stood before them in this room. He commissioned them. He said unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And he said, Receive the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And so we read all that. But I want to draw your attention tonight to verse 24, that last verse that we read, where the Bible says, But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And so tonight, I want to make three statements, and then I have 4 points. Now, I promise you, I know what time it is, and I will get you out at our normal time or real close. But there are three things that I just want to say. First of all, there are times when Jesus reveals himself in a special way. At those times, number two, a wonderful blessing is realized. I mean, there are times when Jesus just decides that he's going to reveal himself to mankind in a special way. He's going to tell us something about himself that he's never told us before. He's going to do something in our midst that he's never done before. And when we are present at those times, there's a wonderful blessing that we can be a part of. And then point number three, those who are not present at those times suffer a huge loss because they have missed the revelation that Jesus Christ has made about himself. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Let me talk to you about a wedding in Canaan that's recorded in the book of John. On the surface, it was just like any other Jewish wedding that took part during that day. There was nothing really special about it. Of course, a wedding is always special to the bride, and always special to the groom. It's always special to the family. But it was just a normal wedding. I mean, the Bible doesn't even record the bride's name. We don't know who the groom was. We know there were other people invited, and we know that Jesus and his mother and his disciples were invited. And I think the guests came to that wedding just like they did to any other wedding. They weren't expecting anything special to happen. I mean, it was just going to be another wedding in Cana. It was going to be another time where a man and a woman were going to be joined together as husband and wife. I'm sure there were people that were invited that said, well, you know, I don't know them very well. I'll just sort of skip. I just won't go. There'll be lots of people there, and nobody will notice that I'm not there. And I don't know them that well anyway. And so even though I'm invited, I won't go. And those people that skipped the wedding that day, those people that decided not to go, missed a tremendous blessing. Because on that day, at that wedding, Jesus decided to reveal himself in a special way. It was his first public miracle. I mean, you know the story. They ran out of wine, and his mother came to him and said, hey, they're out of wine. He says, woman, what's that to me? It's not my time yet. And his mother said to the servants, whatever he says unto you, just do it. Don't question what he says. Whatever he tells you to do, just go do it. And Jesus told the servants, he said, go fill these water pots up with water. Pots that they had there to purify water. He said, just go fill it up. Go fill them up. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said, okay, take now what you filled up in that pot and take it to the governor of the feast. And again, you know the story. When they took that water that they put in those pots to the government, to the governor of the feast, that water had turned into wine. And the governor of the feast said, hey, he called the groom over and said, hey, you've done it different than everybody else. Everybody else serves the good wine first. And when people have had plenty to drink, then they bring out the bad stuff. You've saved the best till last. And there's a verse in John chapter 2 where the Bible says, the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Those people that were there that day saw something that had never been done before. They didn't expect it to happen. Jesus didn't advertise it. He didn't say, hey, come to this wedding because I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to take the first step in showing you that I am more than just a man, that I am the Son of God. He didn't advertise it that way. But the people that came to that wedding saw Jesus reveal himself in a way that he'd never done before, and they got a blessing. And the people that decided to skip it, the people that decided to ignore the invitation, missed that blessing. Let me move forward a couple chapters in the book of John to John chapter 6. They were having a meeting, one of many that they had had, where crowds had gathered to hear Jesus teach, where crowds had gathered to hear him preach. He was talking about the kingdom of God. He was telling people what the kingdom of God was like and about how to get into the kingdom of God. His disciples were there, and there was a big crowd that day. The Bible says there were 5,000 men plus the women and the children. So there were probably 10,000 to 15,000 people that day that were gathered on that mountainside. There was a little boy there. He had a lunch, 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. And I'm sure there's some people that said that day when they heard that Jesus was teaching and preaching, said, well, I heard him last week. I'm not going to this meeting. I heard him teach last week, or I heard him preach last week, and there's going to be a bunch of people there. It'll be crowded. It'll be hard to hear. And there's really no reason for me to go again. And yet that day, Jesus decided again to reveal himself in a special way. People got hungry. And Jesus said, what are we going to feed this crowd? And one of his disciples, Andrew, said, hey, there's a little boy here. He's got his lunch, his 5 small pieces of bread and 2 small fish. And Jesus said, go ask him if I could use it. And Andrew went and asked that little boy if he could use his lunch. And that little boy said, sure. He brought his lunch to Jesus. And again, you know the story. 15,000 people there and everybody got all they could eat. I mean, it was like going to a fish fry. They got all the fish they could eat. They got all the bread they could eat. And the Bible says when they gathered up the leftovers, there were 12 baskets of leftovers. And in John chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says, then these men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. He revealed himself in a special way. I've got water up here already, Bill. Thanks. He revealed himself in a special way. And the people that were there got to see the blessing, but the people that decided not to go missed the blessing. One more example. Again, we're going to move a few chapters forward in the book of John. John chapter 11. A funeral. Nothing really special about the funeral. It was a funeral for a man named Lazarus. Had a couple sisters that were real sweet, Mary and Martha. But Lazarus had died 4 days ago. And people were gathered at their house to grieve with them, to comfort them. That was a custom back then. People got together to do it. And I'm sure there were people that day that said, you know, there's a lot of people over at Mary and Martha's house. I would go, but there's a lot of people there already. I don't really need to go. My thoughts are with them. My prayers are with them. And I don't really like funerals anyway. And so I just don't think I'll go. And yet again, that particular day, Jesus decided to reveal himself in a special way. You know the story. They went to the cemetery. He commanded the stone to be rolled away and cried in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And that man who had been dead for 4 days, wrapped in grave clothes, came hopping out of that grave, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And in John chapter 11, verse 45, the Bible says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now, I can give you other examples. I won't forsake of time tonight. But those were 3 examples where Jesus decided to reveal himself in a way that he'd never done before. He decided to tell people something about himself that he'd never told them before. And the people that were there, even though it might not have been a special occasion, even though it might just have been another wedding, another funeral, another service where Jesus was teaching, nothing special, yet the people that were there saw the revelation that Jesus made and got a tremendous blessing from that revelation. And the people that weren't there missed it. They didn't get to see it. Here's my 4 points. Number 1. Anytime God's people get together around God's word, there is a potential that Jesus will reveal himself to individuals in a special way. Anytime that God's people get together, gathered around his word, there is the potential that God will reveal himself to you or to me in a special way. The potential exists for him to do that. It doesn't have to be a special Sunday. It doesn't have to be a Sunday that we promote a big attendance or have something special go on. It could be a Sunday in July. Just a normal Sunday in July where people that, you know, it's summertime and people seem to find more things to do in the summertime than they do any other time of year, and they seem to try to do them on Sunday more than they do any other time of the year because it's the summertime. And so there are times when we come, say, well, nothing special going to happen today. It's just a normal Sunday service. It's just another service in the series of services. It's just another Sunday school lesson. It's just another Sunday morning service. It's just another Sunday night service. It's just a Wednesday night service. And yet, every time God's people gather around His Word, Jesus can decide that He's going to reveal Himself to you or to me in a special way. Same thing could happen at weddings. The same thing could happen at funerals. Anytime that God's people get together, regardless of the occasion, that they meet around the Word of God. And by the way, when you go to a funeral, people ought to meet around the Word of God. What a better time to talk about eternity. What a better time to remind people that there is a heaven and a hell. What a better time to preach the gospel at a funeral. I was glad Ed and Ella May, they went to Dora's funeral yesterday, and Brother Ed said the preacher did a wonderful job presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that's going to happen on Tuesday at Bob's funeral. Brother Harry, I know, is going to be part of the service, and the gospel is going to be preached, as it should be, at a funeral. But every one of those times, and again, we sort of take it for granted. How many, and don't raise your hands, but just think with me. How many of you came tonight expecting God to reveal Himself to you in a particular way tonight? Good. Don't raise your hands. I don't want you to raise your hands. But that's the way we ought to come, because it could happen. It could happen that tonight God is going to decide to reveal something to you about Himself that He's never revealed before. I wonder how many times we miss that revelation. How many times we miss that blessing because we don't show up. I mean, Thomas didn't show up. Thomas wasn't one of the fringe people in that group. He was one of the 12. He was one of the people that had given his life to Jesus Christ. And it's the same way. I'm not talking about the fringe group tonight. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about the Sunday night crowd. I'm talking about the Wednesday night crowd. How many times have we said, well, it's just another service. It's just nothing special going to happen. I got something else to do. And we miss the opportunity for God, for Jesus Christ, to reveal Himself in a special way. That's why every time the doors are open, we ought to come. That's why every time God's people get together around this book, and by the way, I don't think we ought to have a church service where we don't get together around this book. This book ought to be the center of everything that we do in this place. Because when we gather around this book, there is the potential that God will reveal Himself in a special way. Point number two, and I'll be quick. God knows when we're AWOL. God knows when we're not here. Thomas might have thought, hey, there's a lot of people gathered in that place, and nobody will know that I'm missing. I want to remind you tonight, God knew that He was missing. I mean, and God called on him. I mean, look at what He wrote in John chapter 20. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. We may say, and again, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, but even the Sunday night crowd need to be reminded of this. Thomas says, nobody will know that I'm not here. God did. Jesus did. And He recorded it in the book. And down through the ages, everybody that has read the story in John chapter 20 knew that Thomas was not where he was supposed to be. Number three, his reason doesn't matter. Why wasn't Thomas there? Maybe he was tired. Maybe he had something else to do that night. Maybe he was discouraged. Maybe there wasn't any reason. Maybe he was just absent-minded and forgot that they were gathering in that room. The reasons that we miss don't matter. Say, well, preacher, I had a pretty good reason. Well, that's good, but it doesn't really matter. Because if God's people are gathered around God's book, that's where we ought to be. It's where we ought to be. So the reason doesn't matter. And then number four, those that are missing lose far more than they gain. Here's what I mean by that. Some people are tired, and they say, I'm going to stay home and rest. And so they decide to skip a Wednesday night or skip a Sunday night. I want to tell you, you'll be more refreshed by coming than you will by staying home and resting. You will. You will. Some people say, well, I've got something more important to do. What's more important than being in God's presence with God's people under the ministry of God's word? And I know, listen, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. Yeah, I know some of you are going to tell me on the way out, you ought to preach that message on Sunday morning. You ought to get those morning glories. Well, I want to tell you, we on the Sunday night crowd need this kind of preaching too. We need to know that every time this door is open, every time we gather around this book, and that's what we do when the doors are open, just about every time the doors are open, we gather around this book. Every time we do that, there's the possibility that Jesus is going to reveal himself in a way that he's never revealed himself before. It may be for only one person. It may be for a teenager. It may be just for the preacher. It may be for one person. But I don't know about you. And that's why I hate to miss church. I'm afraid of what I'm missing. I'm afraid God's going to do something and I'm not going to get to be a part of it. And that just, it upsets me. I'd rather be here half dead and get in on the blessing than I would miss it by not being here. And so, again, the Sunday night crowd, and I know you need it less than anybody else needs it, but we need it. We need it. God can work in a mighty way in our lives as individuals if we put ourselves in the place where he can do that with God's people under the ministry of his word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this reminder. And Father, I pray that we take it to heart, that we become every time we come to this place, that we never have the attitude, oh, it's just another Sunday night service. Oh, it's just another Wednesday night service. But Father, every time we come to this place, we'd expect to hear from you. We expect you to do something extra special in our life. Thank you for doing that tonight. I pray if there's somebody here that's never received Christ as their Savior, you want to do something extra special in their life tonight. You want to introduce them to Jesus Christ. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to their hearts just now. You would show them their sin. You would show them the penalty for that sin. You would show them the price that Jesus paid on Calvary to pay for their sins and make them right with you. And again, Father, if there's just one person like that here tonight, I pray during this time of invitation they would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and then walk the aisle and share that decision with us. So bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Do in our hearts tonight what you have planned to do. We give ourselves to you and ask you to do it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.